Adoption Arena Podcast is a positive, engaging look at adoption and fostering, presented by Joy Carter, an adoptee and advocate.
I am so pleased to be speaking to Harvey today, who is the Chief Executive of the National Association of Fostering Providers. We've met many times at various events, and I think we met in, when was it, 2014, when I launched, you know, Comics for Adoption. Do you remember that?
Yeah, no, I remember. You know, I thought it was even longer ago than that.
I think it was, but that was the first thing.
We've been friends for a long time now.
Yeah, we've seen lots of different things happen. Mm. So if you're watching for the first time, Adoption Arena is where the conversation on adoption and fostering starts. I'm kind of explaining to people, if you've never seen this channel before, which you haven't, it was a blog channel which I started in 2015. And then it went on to Facebook, and then now I felt this, using Zoom as a platform, was very much the way forward. So I'm really excited about this journey. It's a little bit like I'm introducing it as being like a mixture of a TED Talk with all the excellence of clients and knowledge base meets the chilled outness of Lorraine, which we all love, and a little bit of comedy, because you know I'm a comic. So that's how I'm sort of selling it. Tell us a little bit about the start of your journey. How did you get into fostering in the first place? What, you know, you've just left university. How did you begin?
Well, actually, I was living in Liverpool, and I was volunteering for a children's charity, and I actually never thought about doing any of that sort of work before. And I don't even know exactly what appealed to me about it. So I started doing some volunteering for a children's charity, and it was families who were being supported by social services in Liverpool, and the local authority were paying for their children to go away on holiday in North Wales. So I just trained as one of these kind of, you know, workers that goes away with the children and the young people. And lots of these kids had never been to the countryside before. You know, they're from Liverpool and they hadn't really been much out of Liverpool before. And I think what immediately struck me was the way they were transformed when they went out of their environment. So lots of them were kind of presented as tough nuts, you know. But when you took them out into the countryside and did things that they'd never done before, they remembered to be children again. And that, I suppose that for me was like at the start of my realization about this was something that I was going to want to do and that I was going to be interested in. And so that just continued. I mean, I've worked for local authorities, I've worked for some government organizations, I've worked for a number of charities, and now I've been in my current role for almost 10 years, in fact.
Wow, yeah. Because I think people often fall into this journey, don't they? If you're not directly linked to it, like obviously I'm an adoptee, or if you are a foster child, or you've been in care, then it is a journey that you sort of stumble into, isn't it? And I always say to families, it's the most incredible journey, isn't it? Because the people you're going to meet are just going to be exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me as well, my father was in care in his teenage years.
Okay.
And it took a long time before I exactly realised that he was, because it wasn't something that you necessarily talked about in those days. I think what was probably happening for me is I was probably on a parallel journey. On the one hand, I was thinking, oh, this is volunteering, that's good, it's really rewarding, it's a good thing too. On the other hand, I probably had this dawning realization about my father was one of those children. And so if I'm the child of somebody who was in care, then it seems right for me to do something for children in care. Because in a sense, you know, he's gone through the system, he's come out the other end. I'm the product of now a parent who was a child in care in the system. So, you know, I think for me, it was that parallel realization. So it was funny when you said, not all of us know somebody. Well, actually, you know what, we might know more people than we think we do.
Well, I think that's a really good point, because as we know, adoption, fostering care affects a quarter of the population in some way. So I think, as you said, it's a lot more common than we actually think it is. But again, it's just starting those conversations and thinking, hang on a minute, I am linked to it in some way, either in your bloodline, you definitely are, or even if you just know a friend or close friend, you are still kind of linked to the story, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's a really good place to start in any of this, you know, for talking to people and talking to human beings. Because I guess I believe that life is about human beings interacting with each other. And nothing is more important than that in many ways. And so talking to people about themselves and understanding their journey and understanding their story, I think is a really important part of you know, figuring out what our own path in the world is.
Mm. Well, that's it. I think it's about those incredible people that we do life with every day. I always say to parents or people in general, as they ask me, whoever you call a parent, a mother, a father, you get to define that part of your journey. Mm-hmm. But we've all got those figures in our lives, whether you've got an aunt that becomes like your mother, or just a family friend, yes, that you feel is really mothering you and helping you find that piece of your family line, if you like, that you need to define it as being. And that's something which I think is very important if you are wanting to, if you can't find the answer that you want, you can sort of make the answers that your heart needs.
Yeah, definitely. And I think children and young people often tune into adults in an unpredictable kind of way. You know, it's their choice about, I guess, who ultimately they get on with and who they trust and who means something to them. So that can be all sorts of adults around them. And I think that's one of the things that's really important about foster care. So if you don't live with your mum or your dad, or necessarily even your brothers or sisters, you know, you live with your foster carer, that foster carer there has a really important potential role for that child to trust them. And it doesn't work out like that every single time, but it might not even be the foster carer. It might be the foster carer's children themselves. It might be a husband or a partner. It might be somebody else in the family. It might be a teacher at school. So, you know, as adults, when we're aware that all of us surrounding children have a really important role to play in that child's life, you might end up being the person that child really tunes into.
Mm. Yeah, and I remember you once famously said, it's not just like it all stops at 18, it's through the duration, isn't it? Because as we all know, our parents are there right up and right, you know, it's not all ending when we're 18, they're there when you're 25, when you're 30, when you're 50, you know, they're going to be there right up until, you know, until the end, because that's how families work, isn't it? It's you know, it goes well, you know, you're on tune, then you'll have an argument, you come back. It's just that, it's that life experience that is so important. And it's not necessarily going to be the chocolate box image. I think it's now changing, actually, in adoption and fostering. I think people are realising that families are diverse now. That message is really starting to be embraced by this society moving forward. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, as well, we know that Foster Fortnight is coming up on the 11th of May till the 24th. Do you have any specific things that you'd like to say about that, or things that you've seen people are doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, where I started off with, you know, if you're somebody who's ever thought about foster care before, being a foster carer, if you even haven't thought about it, start doing your research, start doing your investigations. And there's a few things I'd suggest that you do. First of all, talk to people. Who do you know who's a foster carer? Who do you know who knows a foster carer? Talk to people around you and find out what it's like for them. What's the experience been like? Does it start to feel like you're the sort of person who would want to do that? And talk to your wider family about it as well, because you know that expression about it takes a village to raise a child? It's absolutely true with foster care, because foster carers can't do this on their own. They need the support of everybody else around them. So as well as your journey to understand what it might be like for you to be a foster carer and talking informally to people about that, also talk to your family and your friends about it. Because if you do this thing, they're going to need to be there for you as well. But in a very practical sense, start researching fostering agencies. Whichever local authority area you live in, you can be a foster carer for your local authority. But what you'll also find is there are probably 8, 10, 15, maybe more independent and voluntary sector fostering agencies. And you can be a foster carer for any one of these agencies. And the beauty of that is they're all different. They're a very diverse group. They're small, medium, large, they're specialists, they're babies. There's all sorts of roles that they play. So you do research, talk to them, ring them up, get their information, go to their open evenings, and just start feeling which one is right for me, because there will be an agency out there that's right for you. Just keep searching until you get that feeling that this is the right place for me and I'm going to be at home and these people are going to support me.
Yeah, I think it's building those foundations, isn't it? I mean, I've heard people all the time say, I feel I'd like to be become a foster family. I feel that journey's for me. They've mentioned it to a neighbour and they've just said, oh, don't do that, we'll ruin your life. And they've just left it. So I really want to reach out to people who maybe have those negative conversations, which are part of the journey, but they're hurdles. And then obviously it wasn't right for that person, or they heard something negative in the news. But to really push through those those boundaries of words, because words can also make you act, become a barrier to you actually doing something which you know is in your heart, is a part of your passion, part of your desire. So I would say push through, as you said, do that homework, and start. It takes time to build those foundations, doesn't it, as well?
It does. I mean, all our research says whenever anybody starts thinking about maybe being a foster carer, it takes them at least a year before they make an application to become a foster carer. So this isn't a dawning or an understanding that comes on you overnight. But foster care is an amazing thing to do. Not only is it an amazing thing to do for a child, it's an amazing thing to do for you. You know what you, okay, it is really tough, because you know what? Helping children that have had tough lives is tough. It is difficult. Then, you know, make no bones about that. But this is an incredibly rewarding and amazing thing to do as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the enrichment factor, I hear that time and time again, even with my own mother, is that there's jewels, isn't there? There's diamonds of life experiences. Yeah. Seeing children overcoming some of their, you know, shut down, damaging issues, and then flower into incredible people is directly a result of your interaction and your love and overcoming those obstacles. It's life-affirming, isn't it? And you can't buy that, can you? You can't watch that on television. You can't explain to somebody what that feels like.
You can't. It's a human quality that you see, and it's worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, so I really want to encourage people who are on that journey, and also to document it. And a lot of people who are starting on this journey, some of my friends who have got there, who are journaling it as well, starting an online diary, because you will see yourself, as you said, you will see yourself change. You'll see your friends change. And what it's going to do to your own family, if you've got your own children, the impact it's going to have on them, like obviously the impact it had on you must have been great from your dad when he started to talk about it. That men, I mean, encourage you to then be the person that you are. Absolutely. So the impact is great, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It spreads right out across our families and our society. Absolutely.
This section in all our podcasts is to say a special thank you to our sponsors and highlight events that are going on in the adoption and fostering community that you are doing. Why not contact us for more information about advertising your event or sponsoring Adoption Arena? Just send an email to hello@adoptionarena.com. Many thanks. Let's get back to the episode.
So what would you say to people who would say to you, why then is it so negative maybe in society? You know, why are people like, oh, you're a foster carer? Why do you think there's all those negative stories out there?
Yeah, there are quite. It's a really good point, and it really annoys me the amount of negative publicity and stories and media that I see about foster care and young people in foster care. I mean, part of it is based on myths. You know, there's an old fashioned idea that if you're in foster care, it's because you're trouble yourself. So part of that, there's a stigma around it. I mean, I hope there's less stigma than there was. I believe there is, but we've still got a long way to go. So I think part of it is just, you know, an embarrassment and a stigma that we think for some reason children who are in foster care, it's something to do with their fault, which is nonsense. That's not true at all. But I also think historically foster carers have been really undervalued. We sort of saw them as some kind of nice volunteer auntie that would look after you a bit if you know if things weren't going quite so well. But actually, it's so much more than that. And particularly these days, you know, the young people that come into care these days, and especially teenagers, have had some pretty tough starts in life, and they've got a lot of complex problems, and it's going to take a lot of love and stability and attention and understanding to help them find their way out of that, and it will be a journey for them as well. So this is a hugely important and hugely challenging role. And I think people just don't understand how good foster carers are at what they do.
What would you say as well to the black community? Because we know that, I mean, I've encountered this massive wall of anger that says, you know, it's not in their tradition to actually foster a family. Obviously, you just quoted that amazing quote, that African quote. But I also know there's a lot of anger in, or just ignorance or pain in the black community about fostering. What would you say to those hardliners who just say, those kids should just, you know, it's not really my problem, why should I get involved?
Well, I think, you know, if children have had a hard start in life because of their own family, because of been badly treated, because they haven't been loved, because they haven't looked after well enough, because they've been hurt sometimes. Who's going to help those children to put that right? Every child needs and deserves the best start in life we can give them. And if their own family haven't been able to give that to them, then I think it is our responsibility as communities, maybe as a country, but more importantly as communities, to offer that child our help and our support. And this is one way that we can do that. And this is one really, really important way that we can do that. So, you know, you're not a substitute parent. Children in foster care have parents. You're not being their parent instead. That's not the way foster care works. It's not like adoption, strictly speaking, in that sense. What you're being is a loving, caring, solid, understanding adult who says to them, I'm going to be there for you. And okay, there are lots of ways you could do that with children who need that. But foster care is a really particularly important way for us to help children for whom it is no longer safe or the right thing to do for them to live with their families.
That's a really important point. And because one thing that I've noticed as well about the foster system, because there's not enough. How many foster families are we actually short in the UK? How bad is it?
It's a really good question. You know what? It's really difficult to know the exact answer, but we're probably always trying to recruit about 10,000 foster carers every year, okay, or something around that figure. Because obviously some people during every year give up foster care. You know, they decide that they've done their part and they want to do something else. Sometimes it's like retirement, like from any role, you decide you're going to, you know, put your feet up for a while instead. But also we do have more children coming into care. And actually, what we need is a choice of foster carers, because not every human being is right for every other human being. So for children, they'll have particular needs. Not every foster carer is right for them. Foster carers are human beings. They're not a generic service. They're all different and they all have different things to offer. So actually, what we're looking for, weird enough, is more carers than we need, because what we need is a choice. So if you're a child with particular needs because of your age, because of your ethnicity, because of behavior issues, because of all the things that go to make up human beings, the social worker who is looking to find a foster family for you, they need to say, okay, we've got these ones, you've got these ones. Okay, who do you think is going to be best for this child? Let's talk to them about it. Let's see what we can do here. That's the most important thing. We need a huge choice.
Yeah, and just to add to that point as well, is I know that when foster families sometimes break down in their roles, and then the child then moves on to another foster family, and they move on and on and on, you can actually get quite damaged in the system. And I always say to people who don't understand what that's like, is on average, I think we move about 8 times in our adult life. Mm-hmm. So we all know how horrible moving is. You know, you've got to pack up your stuff and you lose things, don't you? You know, no matter how carefully you pay the packers or you pack yourself, things get broken, you lose that family photograph, or something always happens. And that's what happens to these children, isn't it? Every time these children move, they lose really important parts of their story. Yeah. And things get broken and damaged, and then it gets shoved onto the next family. So that's also really important why we need to get, as you said, that choice.
Yeah, but when they move, they lose their relationships. At least for us, we're probably moving with the people we love and who care for us. When they move from one family to another, any positive relationships they had previously are now broken and gone. So not only do they lose their goods and chattels, and it's hard to keep on top of that sort of stuff, they leave with a sense of, I failed in some way because I no longer have a relationship with these people. That's really tough.
Yeah, and that's what breaks them, isn't it? And then, I mean, I know a lot of people have been in the foster system who are actually quite hard, hard of heart, because you have to learn the coping mechanisms, otherwise you've just been broken so many times in the system.
Yeah. Care leavers are hugely resilient people and hugely successful. There are tons of really successful care leavers out there. And you're right, maybe to some extent, that's because all the tough lessons that they learned have turned them into some very resilient, very determined people. And that's certainly the case for lots of care leavers.
Yeah, but again, it's just reaching that level, isn't it? Because obviously you can leave at, you know, school at 16, and the percentages are still quite low, isn't it, with the number of care leavers who then go on to higher education, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is, because our system is kind of set up for you to go to higher education. It's 18, 19. But if you've had a disrupted childhood, sometimes it's a case that your development is delayed and you might not be ready to go to university at 18, 19. But you know what? You might have been ready to do it at 23, 24, because perhaps your development and your maturity has been delayed and derailed in some way. And lots of young people and young adults get that together for themselves, and they would be ready to go into higher education later on. So it's kind of like, you know, when we do a snapshot of how many care leavers are at university when they're 18, 19, that's not really comparing like for like, because a number of those care leavers wouldn't be in the same place in terms of the maturity and the resilience and their understanding of themselves that some other 18, 19-year-olds would be. If you did a snapshot later on of how many have ever been to university, did we give them the opportunity to go to university, I think we'd see a much higher figure.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So I think it's that development, isn't it? And to say to people, if you're watching this, if you have been through the system or you're going through the system, don't give up on your dreams. And hang on to the relationships that you've got, because those people are going to help you overcome some of those negative voices in your head, so that you can then reach your high potential. And as I said, you on the plus side of it, and I know that as an adoptee, is you develop a strength that other people don't have. You saw that in your father, probably. He must have had a strength in raising you that maybe other parents didn't have.
These are lifetime issues. I mean, as you said earlier on our conversation today, Joy, these are lifetime issues. So as a care leaver and as the people around you and as your foster carers, as your adoptive family, they are going to be there for you past 18. Although the law may say at 18 you're no longer in care and you become an adult, you probably don't feel like that. So those relationships continue, and it is the basis of these human bonds and relationships that sustain us through our development and our adulthood.
Well, I think that's all I really wanted to say, but I wanted to just end on the point that Fostering Fortnight does start on the 11th of May until the 24th, and there's going to be lots of community things, isn't it, that people can get involved in.
There are events all over the place. You know, if you just Google Foster Care Fortnight, you'll find it, but there's also a government website called Foster Line, which is really useful as well, and you'll find listings of local events. You can search on your postcode, etc. You can just find out more information, and as I say, you know, do your research, talk to people around you, talk to people you know you've got a connection with foster care, and look at a number of different agencies. Just don't go to the first one. Hunt around, because there's one out there for you that will be the right agency to take you on your journey to become an amazing foster carer.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Harvey, for speaking to us today. I'm really, really excited to share this and get this message out there. Is there anything else you just wanted to end on? Anything, any other words you wanted to say before I sign off?
No, that was just an absolute pleasure. I'm really honoured and pleased to be invited. Thanks, Joy.
Oh, Harvey, you know, I always love speaking to you, because Harvey's one of those golden people that you will meet. It's a good example. Oh, let's be, we're going to meet along the way. He's going to just make you go, this is doable. And I want to be part, I want to step onto that train and overcome, you know, we all know the negative stories in the press, but this is for me, and this is, as you said, the most amazing journey that you can ever go on. It's going to feel daunting, and any new challenge does. Yeah. But I really want to say to people, I mean, Fostering Fortnight is immense. It is amazing. Or look at adoption. A lot of children, a lot of parents also foster and then go on to adopting. That's slightly different. But again, if your heart is pumping, you're thinking, yes. Or even if you're a young person watching this and you're thinking, I'm not in a position, I want to do this now. Well, park it. You know, park all these feelings in your heart. And when you're ready to start a family, do whatever you need to do, revisit this, because if your heart is going, you need to connect.
Absolutely.
Or even if you're thinking, okay, you want to get through the coronavirus scare, then the next virus scare, or the Brexit scare, you know, put this on the hold for a few years, but don't think it's not for you. If you know this is part of your family story, put it off, you know, but keep engaged. Maybe support people or families who are doing it. Just give them a ring, look after their kids. As you say, you can still be part of it without necessarily having to actually.
Absolutely. Reach out to your communities. And I mean, we know faith communities in particular, people of faith, are very highly represented with foster carers. You know, there is a significant motivation. So reach out to your communities, reach out to your churches and your other places of worship, and talk to people about what they do. And I think you'll find there's a lot of people who understand what you're talking about, and that will help you on your journey to be a foster carer.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much again. I've so enjoyed speaking to you. And please subscribe to this channel, Adoption Arena. Tell your friends, forward it, because you know what? We're going to be discussing so many of these different issues. As I said, it's very informal, but everyone on this channel that I'm inviting is people who have been such an encouragement to me and really helped me on my life journey. And that's what I really want Adoption Arena to be about, getting those conversations going. linking up people with people, because I know what it's like to be in a family when it looked bad and I was put into a family. I know what that's like and the hope that can bring to your life. So you can live the way you want to live and achieve your goals. It's been a pleasure. Stay safe, stay well. I'll see you at the next discussion.
Adoption Arena podcast is brought to you in conjunction with AdoptionArena.com. It's aimed at those interested in or affected by adoption, fostering and care issues. Join us as we discuss the big issues and topics in the arena that might affect you. We would love for you to support our work at Patreon. Go to Adoption Arena and receive exclusive interviews, listen to seminars and training, and be invited to our live Zoom meetings and events. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Joy Carter, and I look forward to hearing from you with any feedback, suggestions, and questions. Adoption Arena, a sound pathway to a great future.